I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
My wife and I have two children, a little girl, 9, and a little boy, 5. She filed for divorce back in December.
Why?
Well, basically, she had an affair beginning in October, of which I found out about around the 1st of December. A few days after that, she filed for divorce. She basically said that she didn't love me anymore and hadn't for a, you know, quite some time. The situation is that in the beginning, she wanted to wait until after Christmas to tell the children and all this. As time has gone on, though, it's like she has found, not that I've really pressed the issue, okay, because I love my children and I love my wife, but she has found several excuses, whatever, to not tell the children, not let them know what's going on. So therefore, we're still living together.
What are her plans?
Well, that's the affair was broken off. She said that she was deeply in love with this guy.
Why was the affair broken off?
Well, he chose between his wife and children and my wife and children.
So he went back to his wife?
Correct. And really, this isn't about me, but I have tried to be supportive of of this situation and understanding, and like I say, there's nothing more.
And what's your question for me?
Well, staying in this relationship as it is, I mean, there is not any physically, there's not any love, emotion really between my wife and I.
Right now, I can't imagine there would be, because if she's planning on leaving you, it sounds like maybe she has some ambivalence.
Well,
but to leave it in this state is odd, so I don't really know what the question is. If you're worrying...
My question is...
Has she made up her mind that she's leaving?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
But she's filed for divorce.
She has filed for divorce. She has had the papers.
Have you explained to her what you would file in terms of custody?
Yes.
What have you explained to her?
Well, it would be a joint custody.
Joint physical?
Well, under the laws of the state of Texas, I mean, we would, I would have very liberal visitation rights.
Do you have joint physical custody in your state?
Well, she would actually have custody of the children.
Okay, let me explain something to you very carefully.
Sure.
She had an affair. She wants to destroy the family. I think it is absurd for you to sit back and say, I could visit my own kids. I think you need to explain to her that the consequences of her leaving will be she will not have the kids, if you have anything to say about it. I understand that you want the pretty picture all wrapped up and intact, but she has the power. You don't. The only way you can start exerting power is to start finding out legally what you need to do to assure yourself either full custody physically or joint physical custody. Because it seems to me that if somebody wants to destroy a family and there's no concrete reason other than their mood, they ought not be leaving with the kids. Because they should not be able to take the kids away from the other parent when the other parent is not guilty of anything. Wretched to the kids, wretched to the family, wretched to the other spouse. And I fear I talk to too many men who roll over and play dead. Just roll over and play dead because they're so scared of her power. I think you need to start taking it back. And one of the ways to do that is to communicate with a father's rights group. One in particular, there are many all over the place in your state and in your city. One in particular is the National Congress for Fathers and Children, which is an 800 number, 733-DAD, D-A-D-S. Because I think the more you make it clear that she's just not going to parade away because she's in a mood. I mean, that's what commitment is for. Moods and feelings, even such as love, ebb and flow. You don't screw around and break up families over the ebb and the flow. That's what the commitment is about. It's about not doing that. She hasn't quite learned that morally and intellectually and consciously. Then she's got to be taught that there are going to be serious consequences in that she can visit her kids. when the mood moves her. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
You know, the last call is particularly interesting. Okay? Okay. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. Thank you. First of all, it was very difficult to get in. I guess you're very busy every day, but I'll get right to the point. I'm a 42-year-old male. I live in Sacramento. I was single for about 15 years, and then I met this wonderful, wonderful, very warm, loving person. We'll just call her D, and D has 8 children. They range.
I'm sorry, 8?
8.
Wow.
8.
Where's the dad, or dads?
He kind of had other interests in life, like drugs and alcohol and partying around and doing stuff like that. And I've known Dee since she had 5 children, and I watched her and her husband just go through these battles and all these...
So you watched her, knowing what she was married to, continuing to make babies with him.
Yeah, and I couldn't...
Real good judgment.
Why? Well, anyway, so Dee and I one day, we were talking, and I was lonely one day, and she was lonely one day, and we just got together, and we ended up moving in together. So now I have the responsibility of this family. And the problem I'm having, Dr. Laura, is I love Adina dearly. Don't take me wrong. I love her dearly. She's a great woman. She's a wonderful housewife, and she takes good care of me. I find no fault in that at all. The problem I'm having is all of a sudden, now I'm a dad of 8 children, and... Sometimes I want to pull my hair out. Sometimes I love it. It's great to have a family, you know. But sometimes I just want to take a long drive off of a short pier. And the problem that I'm having now is I've got this horrendous guilt. I want to leave. I want to be single again. But I the guilt is just so overwhelming. I feel like I'm walking out on them, too. Even though I know and understand that these children are not my responsibility, I didn't bring them into the world. I just...
Oh, excuse me. Oh, excuse me.
Ed.
First of all, every parent... Even when they brought them into the world, sometimes loved it, sometimes not. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Did you always love being a single guy with no obligations and no attachments and nobody to care about you?
I'm divorced. I have a 22-year-old.
I asked you a question.
Go ahead.
I said, were you not listening?
Yes, I was.
Well, then answer the question.
No, I didn't like being single. I think what was missing in my life was that family.
Well, you have to understand that there is no place... that offers you everything. There is no place with total peace at the same time total joy.
Right. I understand. How do I deal with the guilt, though?
Well, you're missing my point entirely.
I am?
Yes.
Okay. I'm listening.
Well, I'm not sure of that. There's listening and then there's hearing.
Uh-huh.
They're two different things. All I heard from you is sometimes it's great and sometimes it's very frustrating. And so your point is what? Just because it's sometimes great and sometimes frustrating, it means you leave? So you can't handle anything that's ambivalent? You can only handle things when they're pure? Well, I don't know where you're going to live in this universe because there ain't no place where everything's pure.
Have your cake and eat it too?
There's no such place.
No such place. Oh, boy.
If you want a big house, you got to work very hard to make the money to pay the bills.
I work 7 days a week. I have 2 jobs.
Are you literal, or are you getting the picture?
Yeah, I'm getting the picture.
Well, maybe you ought to not work 7 days a week at 2 jobs. Maybe that's the problem and not the sort of shacked up family you made. First of all, your lady disgusts me beyond repair.
Okay.
So you may think she's wonderful. I am ready to pinch her head off.
Mm-hmm.
This whining about what a bum her husband is when she keeps bedding him and making babies with him.
Yeah.
And then shacking up with some guy and bringing all the kids with her. I mean, to me, she's done disgusting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to be dealt with there. But for you to summarily say, I'm lonely, gee, I like the feeling of this, but, you know, it's much too much obligation and responsibility.
I mean,
what kind of a person are you?
I feel like I bit off more than I could chew, maybe.
Well, try to chew better. Your answer is to escape. What kind of person are you?
That's true.
How do you think we measure what kind of a person we are? By how happy and content we are, or about how we deal with challenges that we've taken on?
True. And my goal is just to raise 8 productive members of society, you know, just 8 good kids. And it's just difficult sometimes, Dr. Laura.
That I know. I've only got 1, and I know it's difficult. And so what's your point?
The point is, why do I feel guilty wanting to leave?
Well, assuming you're a good person, I'm going to make that assumption for a moment, okay?
That's a good...
Then the guilt is just like the same message when you put your hand near something hot. Ouch! It's a warning. that you're doing something you ought not be doing. So guilt is the little message from inside that says, look, John, just because it's difficult and it's taxing and it doesn't always please you, doesn't mean you abandon it. That's what the guilt is.
Okay, and I got that.
That's assuming you're a good person.
I hear you loud and clear.
All right.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, Jessica. How old are you?
11.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Are you off from school today?
Yeah. No, I get out at 3.
Oh, I see. What can I help you with?
My parents just got divorced in September.
In September?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my dad, getting remarried.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's known her since last December. And he's 40 and she's 22.
Hi.
And they're getting married.
Have you met her?
I'm meeting her around Christmas.
You haven't even met her yet. Now, you said he's 40 and she's 22.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
That I guess she's a little younger. He's old.
Yeah. So what sense do you make of that?
None.
Oh. You're sure blunt. Okay. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a little brother and a little sister.
How old are they?
My brother's 9 and my sister's 4.
Okay. Well, good gracious me. This has got to be a real stunner for you.
Huh?
So you're supposed to meet her now for your first Christmas and your family divorced. Mm-hmm. You have to meet this lady.
Yeah.
And you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is she coming over your mom's house? How is this working out?
Well, I'm not sure. My dad's probably going to pick us up because my mom doesn't want to meet her.
Huh. So your dad's going to pick all 3 of you up?
Yeah, probably. And they want to have kids.
They want to have kids?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is your question for me?
I don't know what it's going to be like to have a really young stepmom. I mean, she's not going to college. She just graduated from high school 3 years ago.
The whole thing seems odd, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, I think you don't know what it's going to be like to have this woman married to your dad, no matter what age she was or if she had gone to college or not.
Yeah.
I mean, here you are, a family. You've got 3 kids in the family, a mom and dad, you have a dog and a fence, right? And suddenly, it's all gone, and dad's making a new one somewhere else. That's hard to deal with, no matter what age she is.
And my dad, we live in Nebraska, and he's moving to Florida. And I don't know how we're ever going to see him.
He's moving to Florida?
Yeah, that's where she lives, and that's where they're going to move. That's where he's going to move. He lives in Nebraska right now.
Have you asked your dad why he's going to leave all of you?
No.
Ask him. I think you're old enough, and you are his daughter, and he is supposed to be there for you while you're growing up. I totally support you, as scared as you might be, to say to your dad, I don't think it's right for you to leave us. You're our daddy. We need you here. I think it's fair for you to say that, and I think sometimes mommies and daddies need to hear that, because sometimes they only think of their own things. And since kids don't speak up, you're easy to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't speak up because they're scared. But he's not going to put you in your room without supper, I promise you. But I think it's fair for you, and I wish you would say, and it's not mean, Daddy, I'd like you not to move away. The 3 of us kids need you here. You're our daddy. We need you.
He works in China, and we don't have his phone number, and he just,
When you see him for Christmas...
Huh?
When you see him for Christmas, I think you ought to tell him this. Maybe he'll rethink it. One can only hope.
I will.
But unless you speak up, you don't give him the chance to face you. And if he says, but her family lives there, I think it's fair for you to say, so what? We're your children. You're responsible for us first. I think sometimes parents need to hear that to remind them of where their responsibilities are. I know mommies and daddies are supposed to be perfect and do everything right and know everything, but it isn't true. Sometimes we all have to be reminded, okay?
Okay.
Now I'm going to put you on hold. Carolyn's going to get a number,
And so, you know, we can stay in touch with you somehow. Hope all you mommies and daddies out there heard this one.
There's no such thing as divorce between a father and his son, between a daddy and his daughter.
Her daddy's got some high school twinkie. Probably sees him as a big man, huh? I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Brian, welcome to the program.
Dr. Laura.
Hi, Brian.
Really appreciate being able to talk to you. My wife and I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
My problem. My 13-year-old daughter, who lives with her mother, is, well, since we got a divorce, has been talking about living with me. And the last time was about a month ago. And she backed off because she said the change was scaring her, which I understand.
Well, sure.
But about this time next year, my wife and I are leaving the state. Nobody knows it right now, including her.
Well, how can you do that to your daughter?
Well, that's my question.
You can't. You can't leave the state. She's 13 years old. She needs her dad, whether she's living with you or not.
Mm.
That would be devastating abandonment. You don't have the luxury.
Well,
that's wrong. You can't do that. And if she were living with you, you certainly couldn't do it either, because you can't take her away from her mom.
Yeah, that I...
Unless her mom's a crazed serial murderer, you know?
No, she's nothing like...
Well, you can't move away from your kid. She needs you.
Okay. Well, I guess that more or less answers the question, then.
Yeah. I mean, you got about 5 years. She'll be off in college. Go anywhere you want.
Okay.
Even that's terrible, but that's less terrible. But when she's growing up and is a little girl, she needs you. Certainly, she's telling you that by the, I want to live with you, means she wants more of you. On the other hand, she doesn't want to give up the familiar, she doesn't want to lose you, she wants more of you, she doesn't want to give up her familiar. I mean, that's what kids in divorced families go through. And, you know, for you to be gone, frankly, from a child's point of view, it's better that you died. Do you know that? Because at least they know they're not being rejected, it's not a lack of caring, and it's something they simply have to adjust to for once and for all. But please, don't abandon your kid.
Okay, that makes sense. But we were going to ask her if she wanted to go with us.
She can't. She can't leave her mom. That'll kill her, too. And that's not fair to her mom.
No, it's not.
You have a moral obligation. I mean, it's bad enough you divorced with minor kids. But you don't add to that by now stripping them of a parent.
Okay.
All right.
I understand.
Do you feel well nagged?
Pardon?
Do you feel well nagged?
No.
Oh, I didn't do my job well enough. I usually nag better than that. I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. You know, I've been getting too many of this kind of facts. Much too many. I'm going to read this, the whole thing to you. You already know my opinion before I'll even get to the end, so I don't even have to give much of one, because you already know if you've been listening for more than 20 milliseconds to the show. Nonetheless, I've been getting too many of these. They all say the same thing. They're from different people. Married for 6 years, get along wonderfully until this problem surfaced. I thought everything was outstanding. We have a computer. I have everything on it one could imagine, including access to the internet and the infamous chat channels. My problem is I found out that my husband is talking intimately with women on these chat channels. I approached him about what he was doing and told him how I felt about the situation. His answer was, it's nothing, and would not do it again. However, he continued. I confronted him again and told him it bothered me considerably and that I was of the impression that he didn't love me as he professed if he were continuing with this type of behavior. He assured me once more that he would stop. Doesn't. Is this healthy behavior for anyone? Obviously not. And what must I do to get him to stop? Sorry, we don't have that power. What is your opinion as to how to handle this situation? As far as I can determine, the only talking that is done It's only talking done through the computer, but I'm of the impression that little things lead to larger things. What do you think about it, and what do you think I should do? I've always been of the opinion a person has to want to make a change himself or herself before it'll be of any value. But if I present an ultimatum, won't that just cause resentment? Oh, I see. His resentment is more valuable than yours. He doesn't give a rat's tush that this is devastating to you, that he is flirting with other women and playing sex games on the internet. Doesn't worry that you might have resentment, but you're going to worry about his resentment. That's typical female behavior. You women don't seem to mind it terribly unbalanced. You still question yourselves. Thank you very much for your time and comments. And she says nice things about me and my show. Thank you very much. I've been getting a ton of these. And it's not just all men. It's women, too, on the internet doing sex talk and even eventually meeting the person because, let's face it, your life is boring, you're boring, you want a high. How many times can you watch the Ricky Lake show and get off on that? So the next thing is to turn on the internet and do sex talk. And then that gets boring. That's not stimulating enough. That's not exciting enough. So the next level is now we could actually masturbate doing that. But that gets boring. So the next step is we actually have a clandestine meeting. But of course, all of this means nothing because you really love your spouse. Love doesn't behave like that. I am not here to say that you should not have the fantasy. I am here to say you shouldn't have the behavior. That's what self-control, decency, dignity, and caring about somebody else and a commitment to that relationship means. It means you have self-restraint. Simple as that. And if you don't, you're doing something wrong to your partner, to yourself, to your commitment, and you're degrading something very important. But mostly I think it's because you're boring, therefore your life is dull. Notice how the order in which I said that. Your life is dull because you're boring. You're boring. You don't do anything magnificent, interesting. This is how you're getting your jollies. This is how you're bringing excitement into your life. That's why a lot of women sit and watch this crap on television, these TV talk shows, because they're boring. So they look at this stuff, and it's the only excitement they have in their lives. They're not doing anything of value. This is their excitement. So that in which you partake defines you. This is disgusting that people are doing this to each other, not caring, but expecting loyalty and fidelity from the other person. Oh, expecting it, because you want your comfort. But the problem is you're bored, because you're boring. Now, if your life is boring, are the only things you can think of to bring excitement into your world illicit sexual activities? God, you're not much, are you? Sort of a scrape on a piece of paper, that's about all. I'm Dr. Earl, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you. What can I help you with?
Well, I'm married. Been married 6 years. We have two kids, and
How old are the kids?
Like 2 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And after the second child, my wife doesn't really want to have sex very often.
Mm-hmm.
She just basically kind of lost interest, and because of that, and I've considered infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something I know it's not right, and that's something that on one hand I'm like, that's not something I should even be considering. On the other hand, I don't feel like I'm being fulfilled. So, okay, what do I do here? So I guess that's why I'm calling.
Okay. Let me give you an example. In one of the prior hours on the program, I read a report from a urologist that said that of the 20 million men who have impotency problems, half of them it's a physical thing. And most of those are because, at some point or another, they damage their genitals. The number one reason was, you know, the bicycles that guys ride?
I heard that.
Yeah, okay. Now, what if that were your problem? What would you tell your wife to do? I'm just curious. So you couldn't do it much. You couldn't sustain it, you know. You wouldn't be too useful in this department.
Well,
what would you want her to do?
What I would do, I would feel my responsibility to do whatever I could.
No, but it's broken.
Well, there are other things out there.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying, what would you want her to do?
I would use all the everything.
I'm not asking you about you. I'm just asking what you would want of your partner.
I would expect her to want to be fulfilled.
And go outside the marriage.
If I couldn't fulfill her needs, I think she should get her needs fulfilled.
Okay. Now, that means we're going to use some guy, right? Because we're not planning to marry him and make him part of the family, so this is just some guy we're going to use for sex. Do we tell him we're just using him for sex? I'm just using you to feel good. You're like a human vibrator.
I think you should always be honest with people.
Okay, so you should find somebody who doesn't mind being used. Yeah, I just want to come over here and service you. And we should tell him that's what he is, or find that kind of person, right? So you'd have to find that kind of woman.
Okay.
And what if she got pregnant? What,
yeah.
If you, what if your wife found out and thought that was grounds to leave you? Then you wouldn't see your kids much.
That'd be a terrible situation.
Yeah. How much do you want to risk?
Okay. I understand your point.
Okay. I just want to know how much you're willing to risk. I assume you made these kids because you want to be there for the, as their daddy.
Yeah.
Now, it's not unusual experience in families when you have a couple of kids that women sometimes have sexual problems in the issue of desire and stuff. You know, they're worn out, and sometimes there's hormonal stuff. It's not an unusual dilemma. And sometimes it takes some period of time, and it takes patience. Also, I find that sometimes, because the guys are a little bit on the outside of the parenting thing, that they are needing that connection to their wives. Mostly, it's not the sex they're needing. It's the needing that connection to their lives, and she's already feeling overwhelmed as a caretaker because she's doing two kids under the age of five. So there are a lot of things to look at. These transitional times when lovers become parents and the parental responsibility becomes overwhelming, these are very difficult transition times. And if you only think of it in terms of, I've got to satisfy myself, that is one of the attitudes which destroys families. We all have to understand that there are going to be very difficult transition times because of all sorts of things. Illness, surgeries, loss of jobs, children. There are all sorts of things which cause people to really be challenged. So ultimately, the measure of you as a man and as a husband and as a father and as a person by how you respond to that. These things in time, with loving, understanding, open conversation, grow because everybody notices how everybody stays committed and loving. So by virtue of how you choose to follow through on my needs need to be met, or, you know, how many of her needs are being met too? Is she as free and happy and happy-go-lucky as she used to be? Or is she pretty much bundled down with taking care of little kids and how relentless that is? You know, perhaps you get to go to work, take a coffee break, go to lunch. Something about taking kids is quite relentless. So I'm just suggesting to you that there's a tremendous amount to risk if we stay in the organized and the fulfilling my needs. We have a tremendous amount to gain if we stand back and look at the bigger picture and say this transitional time might even take years until we readjust to who we are now, what the challenges are, what the responsibilities and the obligations are and the difficulties. This is all the kind of stuff that we really need to look at and to work at together. So I'm just urging you not to think of this so much in terms of getting needs met, because I betcha she doesn't feel she's getting hers all met either, not even discussing the area of sex.
Well, I think that she should make those, if the case is, she should be open and tell me about those things.
Sometimes it's hard to do that, and I'm not complimenting her. You understand? Mm-hmm. If she's sort of walled herself off, then you've got to approach her in a way which challenges that without challenging her, and just say, you know, our lives have changed so dramatically. I remember a time where we would tell each other everything we felt, and, you know, I wish we could go back to that. I hope that you still feel comfortable. And so, in other words, you're sort of hinting and laying groundwork rather than, you know, challenging and I ain't getting any, because that usually turns somebody off more, because, you know, women with two little kids often feel that their main thing in life is now giving, giving, giving. And you got the guy saying, yeah, no, I'm not getting my needs met. Well, you know, give me a break. I'm taking care of everybody. Sometimes the feeling needs to be turned around. So, Daryl, be clever. Funny.
Last month, my husband and I took our 10-year-old son and his friend to McDonald's to the drive-thru. We placed our order, pulled up to the window to pay and receive our food. There in large letters on the window was a sign that said, "Condiments on request." My son's friend read the sign out loud, and then he and my son looked at us in total amazement and said almost in unison, "They sell those here?" Knowing what they were thinking, I looked up to the guy at the window and said, "These boys would like some condiments, please." Without cracking a smile, he leaned out toward the back seat and said, "What kind do you need?" The friend replied, "What kind do you have?" Everyone laughed when they realized that condiments meant ketchup, barbecue sauce. I do appreciate when you hear a particular call and you have input. You know, you agree, you don't agree, this is all cool, it keeps me thinking. You know, that's fine. And I particularly liked this one because it went a full circle. Listen to this. I was listening to your show and heard the call from the man with the unreasonable, overzealously religious wife who was so controlling that he had eventually separated from her and his two children. I must admit that initially I did not agree with your advice to him to return to the home and put up with her excessive limitations, like the can't listen to the Beach Boys. I figured he could probably survive not listening to the Beach Boys, as traumatic as that would be. I must admit that initially I did not agree with your advice for him to return to the home and put up with her excessive limitations just to provide balance and to be with his children. I guess my own ego reacted, imagining what a limited and frustrating life I would have. I have known self-righteous people like this woman. I've lost friends to their newly founded religion because of the extreme limits they impose based on their intemperate beliefs. But then I got to thinking. My own dad, rest his blessed soul, did just that for me and my sisters. He stayed in a loveless relationship with my mom, who had mental health problems, and she truly made our lives a living hell much of the time. As kids, my sister and I would say to each other, "I wouldn't blame Dad if he left," or, "If I were Dad, I'd leave." Yet he hung in there, and he provided a stability that we otherwise would not have had. Here he had kids who wouldn't have held it against him had he left, yet he honored his commitment. My dad wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, and he took responsibility for them, even the mistake of marrying my mother. But I can say this. I had the option of choosing my dad's style and approach to life over my mom's because he was there to model it for me. I'm in my 40s now, and each day I bless my father's memory for not leaving us alone with my mom. I write this to encourage the man who called. I would make the suggestion for him to find a good counselor of her faith who might help her see how she's contributing to the family problems in the name of her religion and how her religion is not an excuse to bully her husband and control others. Good. Well, you know, see, I have a problem with that phrase. She didn't want non-Christian music in the house. Well, I don't have non-kosher food in mine. Is that bullying? Good luck to the fellow. Please let him know that his kids will one day grow up to be adults and they too will have an option because he stayed and showed himself to be a father of character like mine. Thank you for your show, your books, and all the good you do. Even though I don't always agree with you, I always respect you. I appreciate that.
Caller, and wanted to see if I could get your opinion.
Sure.
What the dilemma is the way I see it is what I want to do and what the right thing to do are two totally different things. Basically, what has happened in my family is my family had no framework. I was married, had two boys.
How old are your boys?
3 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Basically, we had no framework. And I basically, because of that no framework or no excuse, I was low on character, I decided to have an affair, which kind of got the ball rolling. Basically, I broke up the marriage, we separated, and then we've been through this quandary of 6 to 7 months of deciding what we should do. In that meantime, I came back, we decided to work on it, and boom, my wife had an affair. So now we're like, in the meantime, I'm trying to build the framework through, through the church, and that's something I was never a part of, and I understand that the benefits of building character or building your moral and ethical strength. So looking back, I can see that the majority of the problems were resting in me, and not standing up for what I believe in, or, you know, basically falling for anything. So basically the dilemma at this point is I'm very happy with the relationship that I have now. My wife or ex-wife is very happy with the relationship that she has, and we're about to get divorced within 30 days. And the question is, should we go back? You know, the guilt is coming in now. We're deciding, you know, should we go back, drop our relationships, and try one more time, or look at it as, you know, we're happy. I'm sorry this happened.
Oh, I'm so glad the two of you are happy. Of course, the kids aren't.
Excuse me?
I'm so glad the two of you are happy. Of course, the kids aren't.
Okay.
Does that matter?
Well, I guess, you know, I wanted to get your opinion on it, and I think it does matter.
My opinion is that the kids' well-being ought to be a higher motivation than a new honey makes us happy. A new honey will always, temporarily at least, make us happy, because then there are no problems, somebody adores you, the sex is great, and you don't have any other things to worry about yet.
Gotcha.
Meanwhile, the kids are watching you get a new woman, mom get a new guy. They don't know how to get new parents.
Right.
Now, this would work out great if they suddenly got new parents they were happy with. Then you'd all be happy. But the kids are the only ones who can't do that.
Right.
You both owe them more than this.
Okay.
I am sure that the way you treat your new honey is not nearly as wonderful. I mean, is infinitely more wonderful, I'm sorry, I said it wrong, than when you came back, you treated your wife.
Sure.
And the same for her. Now, I wonder how happy the two of you would be if the behavior you do towards your new honeys, you would turn at each other. And how her treating you that way would motivate you, and how you treating her that way would motivate her. So that the behaviors would motivate the emotions.
Okay.
Y'all are letting your emotions motivate your behaviors. Well, I feel emotionally drawn here, so I'm going to act nicer.
Okay.
What if we did the behaviors toward each other and built up the emotions?
Exactly.
Because obviously when you first meet somebody, there are no emotions toward them. You don't know them. But you do behaviors as though you cared, right?
Right.
Well, what if you did the behaviors as though you cared toward each other?
Well, would you feel any differently if she had a relationship for 2 years?
I'd feel completely differently if you had no kids.
Okay.
That would be the only thing that would make me feel different, unless one or the other of you were abusive, addicted, destructive.
Right. Right. No, none of those things.
Then all bets are off. If we don't have those bets, then we have two people too lazy to work on something difficult, who just found new partners because it's easy to feel high in the novelty.
Right.
Meanwhile, the kids cannot equally be happy with a new set of parents. So what are they to do?
Right.
Tolerate your shenanigans. And how long is this relationship with this honey or that stud going to last? And then what's the next one? And what are their lives like? What do they learn about love and marriage and commitment? Nothing.
Right. Well, I'm certainly not going to argue because I called to get your opinion. I will chew on this and...
I believe you will.
I think you're right. And it's just a matter of, you know, I have got to take another step of becoming... try to get rid of that selfish side and make a decision here and live by it.
Well, if you make it, you dump the new honey.
Right.
And tell her to go get a guy who's unencumbered.
Right.
And you let your wife know that you're not going to be, that you, even without getting any feedback from her, ended that as a show of good faith.
Okay. And then if the divorce goes through, then it goes through, but I've got to basically burn the ships.
Yes.
Okay.
And you tell her why, and you can relate our conversation. Tell her you're glad she's happy, you're glad you're happy, but the kids aren't. And do we owe them anything? Or is our happiness supposed to be their umbrella?
Right.
I don't think we work that way. I don't think kids work that way.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoy your show.
I appreciate that after all that, you're positive. Thank you very much for your call. Dr. Laura Schlesinger, I want to remind you, if you'd like me to autograph a copy of either one or both of my books, this is how you do it, because I'm not going all over the country doing book signings. This is how you do it. The books are 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And the other one is How Could You Do That? The Abdication of Character, Courage, and Conscience. And you send the book.
First, I'd like to say...
Blessinger, Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Dr. Laura. I didn't realize I was going to be next. I'm sorry. I'm really nervous. I am... I live in Dallas. And my husband has recently moved to New York.
Your husband moved to New York?
Yes. He was unhappy here and unhappy in our marriage and went to New York to try to find a job. He found one, and he wanted to make himself happy.
Okay.
And
God knows that's the only thing we should be striving for.
Well, he thinks so.
I got it.
He really does.
And there's hardly a person who would judge that.
Evidently not. I don't know.
Evidently not.
My question is, he is coming back this weekend for a visit.
By the way, how long ago did he leave?
In the beginning of January. So
got
he's
it.
Been gone a little over 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm nervous about how to act and how we should handle the sleeping arrangements and things.
Oh, find a, is there a nice Motel 6 near you? I understand they also include breakfast.
But our children,
they already know that Daddy abandoned them, or are you two playing a little lie game?
Well, yeah, it kind of started off as a lie game.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, Daddy should go out and play, and nobody should know that he's having a big crisis of character. Only Mother should be made to hold the bag and look stupid if she decides to act with any personal integrity.
Yeah, but I want so much to save my marriage.
I understand that. You cannot do that unilaterally. Unless he said he's coming back. He has dropped everything and he's coming back to be with you. If you think you're going to get naked in a cute pink silly and kiss his feet when he walks through the door and that somehow is going to renovate him, I don't think so.
I don't want to do that, but I don't want...
But you figure you'll do it if it will change his mind. This has to come from within him. You can do anything you want, my dear, but I think you should inform him that while he's out making himself happy, he can stay at the Motel 6 and come over and spend all day with the kids.
Okay.
All day. Take them out for dinner. All day. No obstruction.
How shall I explain this to our 5-year-old? We have a...
Why don't you let your husband do that?
Okay.
Let your husband explain that when you're happy, you can walk out on your... When you're not happy, you can simply walk away. So when the kid's 8 and is unhappy that he has to clean his room, maybe he'll just run away from home. After all, he's learned that from his father. See, you're so busy saying, I want to keep my nest in order, that you don't realize what this is teaching your kids.
That is my biggest concern, because I want them to...
Your husband has done an unconscionable thing, and you should not be kissing up to him, thinking that will change him. You should be holding him accountable for the devastation. He can just leave to be happy and walk back in and have everybody thrilled. Well, the kids are going to be, because they're innocent little children.
Yeah.
But you can act like an adult.
And I will.
I hope so.
I will. Thank you, Dr. Laura. I appreciate it.
You be tough. You be strong.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. My number, 1-800-DR-LAURA. This is Mona Sharon, syndicated columnist. And she gives a situation where these two folks get married. They make 4 kids, 7 to 2. The last two were twins. So they got bunchkins, right? Little bunchkins. He decides it's time to have a honey, gets some 25-year-old. Uses a lot of the kids' money for college to pay for dinners and weekends with the 25-year-old honey. Moves out, and on his weekend with the kids, takes them to a family do with the 25-year-old girlfriend, saying, everybody loves her. I mean, the guy's a real jerk, okay? The kids are having all kinds of problems. They're not functioning at all, but he's blind. He just wanted a warmer, younger place to put it, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, Mona writes, until the early 60s, most Americans told pollsters that it was best for unhappy couples to stay together and try to get better for the sake of the children. But that was before the culture of narcissism had firmly taken hold. Today, majorities say the reverse. Marriage, once actually seen as a sacrament or a profound religious undertaking, is now viewed as a path to personal fulfillment and happiness. And if it fails to produce happiness in sufficient quantity, divorce is the ready answer. So her statement is that he has duty to his family, and by refusing to enter into marriage counseling, he affirmed his indifference to virtues like fidelity, self-sacrifice, honor, and responsibility. Walking out on his children should exact a terrible price in social stigma, which we have none anymore. And I'm furious about that personally, and I have been trying to reinstill. His employer should look at him askance and tell him so. Friends should shun him. In short, he should be treated as if he discovered to harbor Mark Furman-esque views. But it is exactly because society makes no such judgments, even our law enshrines no-fault divorce, that many married people feel free to betray the most fundamental trust that will ever be lodged in them, that of their children. It is beyond argument that easy divorce has been a tragedy for children, but ironically, easy divorce may actually increase the sum of adult unhappiness as well. If marriage is seen as impermanent, husbands and wives are less likely to make the kind of emotional investment, sacrifices, and time commitments that are the true guarantors of satisfying relationships. Stigma is the most important, powerful weapon available to control untrammeled selfishness among adults with children, but changes in the law would help too. Return the concept of fault, which, like sin, was jettisoned in the 60s, and require couples with children to wait a minimum of 1 year before a divorce is granted. Help people to understand that true happiness comes from doing what is right, not just what is pleasurable. I tell you, she sneaks in my bedroom at night, listens to my thoughts while I'm sleeping, and writes a column.